Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who is the Seed of Cain? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, number of sermons that are put in a 26-volume set, primarily during the latter part of the 19th century, giving you an idea of what life was like under the teachings of Brigham Young and Wilford Woodruff and Parley Pratt, Orson Pratt, and people like that, just to give you a glimpse of life in 19th century Utah. Today we are looking at the Seed of Cain. Now that's a phrase that's not very well known among most people, but certainly it is a phrase that is found in a number of writings and speeches from various Mormon leaders and apologists. We find this phrase in the Book of Moses, section 7, verse 22, in Mormon scripture, where it says, "And Enoch also beheld the residue of the people which were the sons of Adam, and they were a mixture of all the seed of Adam, save it was the seed of Cain, for the seed of Cain were black, and had not place among them." So what we see from this verse is those who, as it's come to be understood, those who are of African heritage, those of black skin, were known as the seed of Cain. Now, you have to distinguish the seed of Cain from the Lamanite people. Don't mix them up. That's a whole other people group. The seed of Cain, in a Mormon context, are known to have black skin and are of African heritage. Brigham Young also talks about this.
Yeah, Bill, he says this in Volume 2, page 184. "The seed of Ham, which is the seed of Cain descending through Ham, will, according to the curse put upon him, serve his brethren and be a servant of servants to his fellow creatures until God removes the curse, and no power can hinder it." Now, not only did Brigham Young say that, but that was quoted several different times, including the Discourses of Brigham Young, page 279. John Witzo was the editor of that. And also
Mormon apostle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then also you have 10th President Joseph Fielding Smith using that quote in his book, The Way to Perfection, pages 109, 110. So this is a quote you might think, oh, that was Brigham's opinion. Well, it was also the opinion of two general authorities.
Mm-hmm. When he uses that expression that he will serve his brethren and be a servant of servants to his fellow creatures until God removes the curse. Yet when you talk to the modern leadership in the Mormon church and you ask them, well, why were they cursed? They draw this blank look on their face like, we don't know. Well, it looks like Brigham Young at least was putting the blame on God. God has to remove the curse. Well, who do you think put it there before God has to remove it? You would think God put it there. So God had something to do with this, we would have to assume.
And that's quite a statement to say that if God put it together, God has to pull it apart. This is what this church is teaching, that it has the rights to be able to do that.
We find also a statement by Brigham Young. Now, this is not found in the Journal of Discourses, but I felt that it was pertinent because this was a speech that Brigham Young gave when he was speaking to the joint session of the legislature in Salt Lake City, and the date was February 5th, 1852. So it is certainly within the dates of which we find many other speeches that are found in the Journal of Discourses. So I do think it's pertinent, even though it may not be within the 26 volumes. Here's what Brigham Young said to the joint session of the legislature in Salt Lake City on Thursday, February 5th, 1852. He said, "Now then, in the kingdom of God on the earth, a man who has the African blood in him cannot hold one jot nor tittle of priesthood. Why? Because they are the true eternal principles the Lord Almighty has ordained, and who can help it? Men cannot, the angels cannot, and all the powers of earth and hell cannot take it off. But thus saith the Eternal, I am what I am. I take it off at my pleasure. And not one particle of power can that posterity of Cain have until the time comes when the Lord, and the Lord is in brackets, says he will have it taken away. That time will come when they will have the privilege of all we have the privilege of, and more. In the kingdom of God on the earth, the Africans cannot hold one particle of power in government. Notice again, folks, when he asks the question, why? Because they are the true eternal principles the Lord Almighty has ordained. So the God of Mormonism has ordained for those of African heritage, those of black skin, during the 19th century, I want to put it in its proper context. Mormons don't believe this now, but certainly Brigham Young believed it back then.
Why do so many leaders want to make it sound like they don't understand why this ever was placed in the first place or why it was taken away? What would you say to somebody?
It's really confusing because they don't want to come right out and say their God put the curse on them.
It's okay? Not politically correct.
It's certainly not politically correct, and it should rightfully make their God look foolish, okay? But to say that you needed a revelation to take it away seems to imply that God must have put it there in order for God to give a revelation to take it off. Because if it was just merely a bad policy that was put into effect by ignorant LDS leaders who, by the way, are not supposed to lead anyone astray, I mean, why would you need a revelation to take away the banning of the priesthood to those that have black skin? Now, he goes on in that same speech, the same speech that he gave, on February 5th, 1852, Brigham Young said, "But let me tell you further, let my seed mingle with the seed of Cain, and that brings the curse upon me and upon my generations. After me, should we do this, we will reap the same rewards with Cain." Now that sounds awfully similar to what Brigham Young says later on. In volume 10, page 110 of the Journal of Discourses, what did Brigham Young say there?
He said, "Shall I tell you the law of God in regard to the African race? If the white man who belongs to the chosen seed mixes his blood with the seed of Cain, the penalty under the law of God is death on the spot. This will always be so." Now, he said that on March 8, 1863, and that was quoted in John Lewis Lund's The Church and the Negro from 1967, page 54, a very interesting book on the issue of
absolutely. If anybody wants to do an in-depth study on this, I think John Lund's book is certainly one that needs to be looked at. It's not even a very thick book, but he has a lot of quotations from Mormon leaders regarding this subject. Here's what Brigham Young also said. This is October 9, 1859, found in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 7, page 290-291. He said, "You see some classes of the human race that are black, uncouth, uncomely, disagreeable, and low in their habits, wild and seemingly deprived of nearly all the blessings of the intelligence that is generally bestowed upon mankind." Whoa. "The first man that committed the odious crime of killing one of his brethren will be cursed, the longest of any one of the children of Adam. Cain slew his brother. Cain might have been killed, and that would have put a termination to that line of human beings." Notice how he's separating them from another classification of human beings. "This was not to be," Brigham Young said, "and the Lord put a mark upon him, which is the flat nose and black skin." Notice carefully, folks. A lot of people assume that the curse was black skin, but that's really the mark. The curse is that he's not allowed to hold the priesthood, although there has been some confusion even by Mormon leaders on that one. He said, Brigham Young said, "Trace mankind down to after the flood, and then another curse is pronounced upon the same race, that they should be the servant of servants." That's the same expression that he used in 1855, in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 187 that you read, Eric. He says, how long is that race to endure the dreadful curse that is upon them? That curse will remain upon them, and they never can hold the priesthood or share in it until all the other descendants of Adam have received the promises and enjoyed the blessings of the priesthood and the keys thereof. Until the last ones of the residue of Adam's children are brought up to that favorable position, the children of Cain cannot receive the first ordinances of the priesthood. What does this mean?
Declaration 2 comes along in 1978.
A little bit premature, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Because certainly what he says needs to happen has not happened. The residue of Adam's children, they're not all born yet. So obviously that was a little premature for them to lift the ban in 1978. He goes on to say, they were the first that were cursed, they will be the last from whom the curse will be removed. When the residue of the family of Adam come up and receive their blessings, then the curse will be removed from the seed of Cain, and they will receive blessings in like proportion. What do we do with that?
What's a African-American who's listening to this broadcast, perhaps they're LDS, what should they be thinking about this?
Well, I would certainly question the authority of the leadership, either in the past or currently, because someone is wrong here. Someone has either jumped the gun and allowed blacks to hold the priesthood before they were supposed to, if Brigham Young was telling us the truth, or if we don't really know why they had the curse in the first place, then we have to ask, why was Brigham Young talking about it in the way that he was?
Well, and this continued on for many years. John Taylor, third president, said in Journal Discourses, Volume 22, page 304, and after the flood, we are told that the curse that had been pronounced upon Cain was continued through Ham's wife, as he had married a wife of that seed. And why did it pass through the flood? Because it was necessary that the devil should have a representation upon the earth as well as God. And that's, wow. That's
now,
killer.
Now, some might argue, well, didn't a lot of Christians during that time period have some racist views? And yes, they did. Sadly, they did. But you would almost think that Mormons would expect that from us ignorant apostates.
These are prophets and apostles talking.
Exactly. Why are we seeing this kind of teaching coming out of men of God who Mormons have been told by these leaders that they are getting instructions from the Almighty? If they really were getting instructions from the Almighty, why have the modern Mormons changed that? And that's an argument that many of the fundamentalists, the polygamists, Mormons have often raised, and that's why they think the Mormon Church is now in a state of apostasy.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave One and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.